What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four, not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host Marsh.
What up, Canes fans? It is the Fours Up podcast. It is Monday, December 28th, and it is the bowl game prep. Canes are taking on Oklahoma State tomorrow. As always, I'm joined by my wonderful producer and co-host, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are the holidays? How are you feeling? How are we doing?
Dude, the holidays were good. We had a good Christmas over here. It was very cold in Utah. Unfortunately, there wasn't any snow. Which defeats the purpose of living in a place where it's cold in the winter.
I hate Utah when it's cold and not snowing. It looks so ugly.
What's the point? You know, yeah. Like, what's the point of having...
Hey, what the hell are we doing?
It was like 22 degrees and there was no snow on the ground. So it's like, okay, whatever.
That's cold for Salt Lake.
Yeah, it was pretty cold. So.
Wow. Okay, wow. So big news over the weekend. Just like kind of you and I predicted, De'Aaron King is coming back.
Yeah, man. Oh, it's dude.
Like God is like giving us like a present. He knows, you know what, guys? 2020's been rough. Here you guys go.
That's like the difference between a 10-2 or 11-1 season versus a 7-4, you know, or 7-5. Well, I don't know how many games we play. 7-5, 8-4. Like, that's the difference. It's another. Between 2 to 4 wins, at least, is having De'Aaron King.
No. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, we could lose tomorrow, but I'm still so happy because De'Aaron King is coming back. Like, that changes so much. I mean, he once again puts us in contention for the ACC Coastal. We weren't able to go this year because of those Irish people in Indiana. But, yeah, like, this is going to be – I'm already ready for spring camp.
Yeah, I'm with you, man.
Dude, the season ends tomorrow. This sucks.
Yeah. So how do you feel? So I want to cap here before the bowl game. Bowl games at this point in college football history, they don't mean as much as they used to. I feel like because you have so many guys that don't play. I mean, you're already getting coaching changes. You're signing recruiting classes. You know, like. I feel like the bowl game is like it's the epilogue to a season. It's not part of the core plot line, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I hate that. Like, I hate that that mindset. I mean, it's reality. It's a fact that you know, bowl games, if you're not in the college football playoff, then what's the point? I mean, it used to be that if you won a Fiesta Bowl or an Orange Bowl, even if it wasn't the national championship, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's just not that way anymore. But I mean, I feel like nobody's talking about this game because we're like, we're some fans are either still pissed about the UNC game, or all fans are just talking about recruiting, and we're just talking about next year. Like, this is a – like, we're playing a ranked team. It's not like we're playing Nevada in the MPC Computer Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. I think it kind of takes the wind out of the sails, though, when, you know, a good chunk of our best players have declined to play, and then a good chunk of Oklahoma State's best players have declined to play. So, I mean, I get it. Like, I'm having a hard time getting myself hyped for this game.
Yeah.
But
okay, so so speaking of that, as of right now, I could only found three players for Oklahoma State that is opting out. Their running back, Chuba Herbert, offensive tackle Taven Jenkins, and cornerback Darius Williams. So their running back is out. So that's
good. Yeah, and he was what, like second in Heisman voting last year or something?
Well, last year he was a freaking beast. But their best receiver, Tylan Wallace, is going to play. So DJ Ivy, hey.
Yeah, right.
Oh, gosh. I was so tempted to, like, I really was tempted to drive up for this game tomorrow, and then I thought about it a little more and just never entertained the thought again.
Yeah. I mean, driving, what is it, 5 hours to watch a game with,
it's only like a 3 hour drive for me.
Okay.
Yeah, it really isn't like that bad, but I mean, I got to work the next day and like it's Cheez-It Bowl.
My confidence level about this game is not significant. How about, well, we got Petrie coming on. Should we call him in before we talk about it? I know strongly opinionated, and he actually agrees with us more than I think a lot of our listeners do. So, so it'll be fun to talk to him.
Yeah, let's get him on.
Okay.
Hello?
Petrie, what's up, brother?
Jordan, what's up, man?
Petrie, my friend. Hey. What's going on?
Marsh, what's good, brother? How are you, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing.
When are we gonna hit up Shenanigans again?
We can go whenever you want. After the bowl game, I don't know if we're gonna get a lot of opportunities for Canes type related situations, but we can go whenever you're ready.
I mean, we can always meet up to drink. That's fun, right?
Hey, man, I don't need an excuse for that.
Oh, good deal. Okay, so Canes are in the Cheez-It Bowl tomorrow playing against Oklahoma State. How are you feeling, man? Because Jordan and I we're not very hype. I mean, I'm trying to hype myself up for this game, but I mean, I think that we only have one bowl game win since 2006. We, you know, we're coming off a 62-point, you know, we just allowed 62 points to North Carolina. I don't know where the mindset is of this team. How are you feeling about tomorrow?
Yeah, man. I think I'm kind of with you guys on that one. You know, I'm not tremendously psyched, like, oh yeah, we're going to blow the doors off them. It's going to be 40-10, you know. I wish I could say I was more confident. I think we'll win. I do believe that we will win, but I think it's going to be a little bit closer than some fans would like to hear, or some fans would like to think it will be.
Well, yeah. You know what's funny is that the guy who runs the Fours Up Twitter, he tweeted out today, you know, asking for score predictions. I would say 3/4 of the responses, I went back and ran them before we started recording. I'd say 3/4 of the responses, they're predicting Oklahoma State. So I think it's just, I feel like fans, like at this point of the season, they're just, I really just feel like they are so stuck on the UNC game, and it just left that bad of a taste in everybody's mouths. And it's just the kind of loss that lingers with you. You know what I'm saying?
That's kind of where I am, though, is when you ask me what to think about this. Well, it's like the Cowboys they opened at a 2.5-point favorite. I don't know what the line is at now. But, you know, the last time we watched these
Hurricanes. -2 last I checked a little bit earlier.
Okay. Okay. So the last time we watched the Hurricanes, they had no fight. You know, they had no will to win. They showed up completely unprepared and got pants, you know, and exposed their little boy size package to everyone. Like, it was just horrible, you know? Like, it was disgusting, man. How can you confidently predict this team to change course and show up in a big game?
Yeah, I feel pretty okay about it. Marshawn, I know you said you went through the replies in 3/4 for saying Oklahoma State, and you know that seems pretty accurate. I did see a few predicting Oklahoma State. I was on the 38 Miami, 31 Oklahoma State side personally. That's where I am. And I know you're a gambling guy, and Jordan, you might be a little bit too. Correct me if I'm wrong, but do you think some of these people are trying to like mush themselves? Like, oh yeah, you know, Oklahoma State's gonna win. Yeah, I think that's the way it's gonna go, and they're just trying to like mush themselves into reverse jinxing themselves into Miami.
It could be.
You know, I know how degenerates work, so maybe they are trying to do that. But I will say, I've told probably 5 to 10 people to take Oklahoma State tomorrow, -2.5. The biggest thing for me is what team are we going to see? Are we going to see – I mean, we all remember last year against Louisiana Tech. It was obvious that there was a lack of effort and a lack of just determination and wanting to be there. Are we going to see that kind of Canes team? I think the biggest difference – I mean, the reason why I don't think we will is because of one guy, and that's De'Aaron King. I think De'Aaron King is you know, the kind of player that you want on any given situation. Doesn't matter if you're playing Oklahoma State in the Cheez-It or Alabama game one or FAMU. Like, he's going to bring that same intensity and passion every single game. I want to win so bad just so we can end this year on a high note. And I feel like it will make people somewhat forget about the UNC game for a little bit. And I wrote that in a piece for State of the U today. And I was just basically telling everyone, you know, shut up about UNC. Like, just go beat Oklahoma State. And I wasn't really talking to the fans. It was more pointed towards the team and the players and the coaches. Like, guys, I know that UNC is still in your minds and you're probably still thinking about it, but forget it. Like, you have a chance to go and beat a ranked team and end the season probably more than likely in the top 15 after just signing a great class for 2021. Yeah. So, like, come on. Let's get it going.
We do have something to play for, and you hit it right on the head. Is if we win, we're probably a top 15 team to finish the year, and if we lose, we'll probably drop out of the rankings. You know, which kind of sucks to think about. But, like, with our performances the last 2 weeks, can you guys see us being ranked if we lose to Oklahoma State?
I mean, I still think we'll be ranked. What are we right now? 18? Yeah. I still think we'll be ranked. I guess it just depends on, you know, if we lose, what kind of loss is it?
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, because we're in that 18 range right now, how other teams around us also finish. You know, if we barely lose and then some of the other teams that are in the bowl games gets absolutely smoked, some of the ranked teams get absolutely smoked, then yeah, we'll still be ranked. But you know, if we get you know, embarrassed in that bowl game and then, you know, all the other teams that are in that 18 to 25 range look very good, or you know, they're looking strong, then yeah, we might end up that season or this season unranked.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I was gonna ask you guys, Jordan or Petrie, have you guys watched Oklahoma State at all this year? Have you guys done any, I guess, have you looked them up, or are you kind of going into this game blind?
So I watched a few games early in their season when their defense was very hot. I don't know if they kept that up, but the last time I watched them, they had the number one ranked defense in the country, and you know, were really just dominating teams in that respect. So I don't know if they continued that trend. You know, what we're going to go up against this week in that regard, but, I don't know. Did you dig into them recently?
Yeah, I've just kind of jotted down some stats. So yeah, I was telling Jordan at the beginning of the show, so they'll have their running back out, their offensive tackle out, and their cornerback. They've all opted out. Their best receiver, Tylan Wallace, is going to play, as 877 yards, 6 touchdowns. So he's going to be good. Their quarterback is eh. He's nothing great, honestly, but they do like to run the ball, and given our last performance, they're probably going to want to run it every single play. I mean, because they very well could score 50. Without Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche, Petrie, how are you feeling about the defense tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, the defense, I'm not tremendously concerned. I always think that we're going to have enough talent to keep us there and make enough plays at the right time that we will be okay. We're, you know, we're not going to get dialed up for 50, I don't think. Now, my real concern is with Blake Baker, not to, you know, really start early on it, but, you know, you guys have heard me say it before, and I will say it again. Like any level of success that we've had on the defensive side of the football this season, I feel has been related to our talent, you know, the skill of the football players just as athletes and what they've done in their lives, and not anything to do with what Blake Baker is calling or what he's doing. I think it's a purely a talent thing. So
you don't think that the scheme and coaching has made the – like has made the defense successful at times? Because I would
absolutely.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Any successes, like I don't have a really different way to say it. Any level of success that we've experienced on the defensive side of the football this year has purely been based on the natural talent of the players and not anything to do with really what Blake Baker's been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I would add to that whenever Manny Diaz is calling the defense.
Yeah. Honestly. I mean, sometimes it looks like, you know, he in terms of like Madden or NCAA, it's like he takes over the sticks. It's like he's just the one who's like, all right, listen, my little brother who's 8 years old, you're done playing now. I'm going to take over. All right. Your turn's over. I'm going to take over. We're going to win this game. And that's what it feels like. I'm not an expert on these X's and O's, but all I know is what it looks like when I see it on TV. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. I feel you.
Jordan, how are you feeling about the defensive ends tomorrow night? Because I think that the two starters, it's going to be Jafari Harvey and, correct me if I'm wrong, Cam Williams? I could be wrong.
Yeah. That's what I assume it would be. Yeah. I mean, those guys, Cam Williams has looked really good this year in his playing time. You know, we had high expectations for Jafari Harvey. So, I mean, it's not that I'm necessarily worried about that, but I was just looking at Oklahoma State's running back statistics. And as good as Chuba Hubbard is, like, their number two running back pretty much had the same stats or better than he did. You know, he averaged a full carry or a full yard per carry more than Chuba did. So, I am, you know, I'm not breathing a sigh of relief that their running game won't be a threat anymore, because their quarterback can move a little bit too. He had 300 rushing yards.
Mm-hmm. Is that Brown that you're looking at, the second running back?
I think so.
He might be out for tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So if he's out, then Desmond Jackson will be the guy to watch. But I believe that he he's gone off for about 100, 135 yards in a game as well.
So Jackson is number two in carries. Okay. I pulled it back up. So Jackson had 93 carries for 530 yards. That's 5.7 per carry and four touchdowns. And, I mean, he was 40 carries and 100 yards behind Chuba on the year. So, I think we can't overlook their rushing offense because of Chuba being out. I don't know, man. I am excited to watch the defensive ends, though. I mean, because that's kind of the future of our defense right there. Like, you know, hopefully we see some flashes that we can go into next year and be pretty hyped about our defensive end room still.
Yeah, I think it was like the Duke game and also the Pitt game. You know, we saw a few things from Jafari Harvey that really jumped out, and he's going to be a special player.
Yeah.
I know that Zach McLeod's been getting reps at defensive end. You guys see that?
Yeah. Dude, that was hey man. You know, that's something to be excited about, because you know, you look at his, you know, body type and his skill set, and you sit there and you go, you know, maybe he does, you know, kind of belong on the defensive line in that regard. It makes me a little bit nervous that we're pulling that out for a bowl game, but you know, if that's where he's more naturally suited as an athlete, then you know, we're supposed to trust the coaches, I suppose, in some regard.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess no better time to change his position than his final college game, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Did you, Petrie, did you consider going to this game?
So I don't actually have the opportunity with work. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. That wasn't within wasn't in the cards for me. You know, it might have been nice if we, as Jordan probably would have preferred, if we had opted out of the UNC game and gotten a chance to play in a New Year's Six Orange Bowl, I might have been able to make that happen. But Tuesday in Orlando at 5:30 p.m. canceling it. Sorry.
That sounds so shitty.
I know. I mean, and again, you know, just to say again, like, you know, Jordan did say, hey, we could have opted out of this one and we would probably be in the Orange Bowl right now. Like, what a day and night kind of a difference. We're talking about a game Tuesday late afternoon, you know, 5:30 p.m. the Cheez-Its Bowl. Like, I mean, versus like having, like, you know, a Saturday night, you know, in the Orange Bowl, you know, or something, right. You know, I don't know when the Orange Bowl is scheduled for. I didn't check it, but. Dude.
So this century, the Cheez-It Bowl has changed its name 7 times. Like, that, wow. That is the prestige that we have been granted for this bowl season.
Hey, well, you know what? It wasn't called the Cheez-It Bowl last time, but this is the bowl. This is the last bowl game we've won, and the only bowl game that we won in all of the last decade. So.
Did you check how many times that the Orange Bowl has changed their name, Jordan, by chance?
You know what? It's this is the 87th Orange Bowl that they're playing. So I think it's a little bit better because it hasn't had to change its name 7 times. It's not under a freeway pass offering sexual favors for a corporate sponsorship. So.
Oh, Lord. Okay. But yeah, I think Oklahoma State, they're going to try and run this ball a lot. That's, you know, everyone thinks about Oklahoma State and they conjure up these thoughts of an air raid offense, you know, this and that. It's Big 12, but it's really not that kind of team. You know, they're running the ball for nearly 200 yards a game. So they're going to try and pound it down our throats. I mean, they're going to get their receiver Wallace involved a lot, but if this team scores more than 28 points, what do you guys think? What's the number set for our defense is in terms of points allowed for tomorrow night? Like, what do you think is a realistic number that our defense can give up, but we can still win, if that makes sense.
For us to still win, let's see. I mean, people haven't been scoring a lot. Petrie, if you got an answer, you can go ahead, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, my current score prediction is 38 to 31. So I would say that if we can keep them in the 28 or lower range, I think we're okay. Now, how close that win is, whether we end up winning – you know, 31 to 28, or whether we end up winning 52 to 28, I don't know. But I think if we keep them 28 or lower, that we're solid. We're okay.
Yeah, 28 points was around kind of the number that I was thinking. As far as defense goes, you know, Oklahoma State's okay. I know that, Jordan, you were saying that they were cooking earlier in the year. I mean, at the beginning of November, I mean, they were – this is a team that was gunning for a potential Big 12 championship. Like, this isn't a bad football team. I know they've had some kind of, you know, questionable losses and everything, but Oklahoma State's always a solid team. They're 3-1 in their last 4 bowl games. Mike Gundy has won 9 bowl games. We haven't won 9 bowl games in the last 30 years.
So that's that, and what you were saying about, like, have you watched Oklahoma State? You know, I did catch them in a couple of games earlier in the year. They're one of those names that catches my eye, you know, as I'm scrolling through the games and it's like, oh, Oklahoma State versus fucking Kansas State or something, right? Like, oh, okay. Hey, but Oklahoma State, though, you know, I'll watch that team, right? Here's what makes them really hard to scout is you might have watched them and they've got a couple of guys that are going to be playing on Sundays in the future. But the deal is this, is even though those players are opting out, Oklahoma State, and this is not largely relevant in the big picture, but Oklahoma State as a program has been to a bowl game in 15 consecutive seasons. Now, of course, the last 12 plus years, that doesn't really matter. But I will say this, every single non-freshman player on the Oklahoma State roster has been to a bowl game every year that they've been on the football team. So even though some of the guys that we're talking about, oh, they're going to be opting out or this guy's not really playing, the other 70 guys that are on the team have seen a bowl game every year that they've played. So that matters. That's big.
Okay, yeah. And someone, so sorry, I,
Jordan,
No, you're fine. I just looked up their defensive statistics. Their scoring defense. So they only allow 22 points per game. That's 33rd nationally. You know, like they average only 30 points a game. So I don't know, man. It's kind of hard for me to gauge what we're going to score. I mean, they just blew out Baylor in their last game, like 42-3 or something. So I think that we're going to have to score in the high 20s, low 30s. I don't know if, like, I hope we can, though, you know, because they don't have any defensive players opting out.
Yeah. So someone.
Wait, Marsh, didn't you just say that cornerback?
National Sports Media.
Cornerback opting out, right?
You're right. You're right. That's correct. I was thinking wide receiver for some reason, but correct. They do have a corner opting out.
So I have so I just stumbled upon this tweet. It's from Chris Facilia. He's a well-known sports media guy. He just tweeted Miami's offensive stats in their last two bowl games. Are you guys ready to cry?
Oh, is that the Bear guy?
Yeah. So they So the last two bowl games, they have 25 drives as an offense, zero touchdowns, eight turnovers, 10 three and outs, one red zone drive, one. They have a QB rating of 11.9, and they're averaging just 198 yards of offense per game.
So I'll tell you what. I'm sorry. I will say I know that it said, you know, the last couple of bowl games, and that's all fine and well, but I think that some of those numbers are skewed from last year. And Jordan, you might appreciate this. You're into this kind of stuff. This is one of my like conspiracy theories. I firmly believe that when it came to the game last year, the bowl game last year, Enos knew he was fired, and he just kind of like mailed in a half-assed performance. I almost cannot be convinced otherwise. He mailed that game in before it even started. And so, yeah, we didn't score any freaking points in the bowl game, but I believe that was – I'm not going to say by design of Enos. I'm not going to say he just like full out quit because he is a professional. He wants to, you know, have another job, but he knew he was getting fired. He wasn't like – he wasn't coaching for his job. Right now, Blake Baker is coaching for his job. Enos knew he was fired before that game, though.
Yeah. You know what? When you were talking about that, I just had the video clip like pop into my brain and play of Enos chasing Jaren Williams down the sideline, yelling his name. Jared, you know, after the Hail Mary, it just went so horribly.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, that game was.
Let me ask you guys something. What bowl game was worse, last year's or the one against Wisconsin, the Pinstripe Bowl?
Last year,
really? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
I don't know.
A lot of Canes fans, they're like, you know, like, oh fuck Wisconsin, this and that, because you know they've beaten us in a couple bowl games over the previous 4 or 5 years or so. But I actually have no problem with Wisconsin. I like Wisconsin as a football program. You take a bunch of 2-star guys that nobody's ever heard of, and you have a relatively almost always ranked team. Hey, they got my respect. And so, they ran all over us in those games. But, yeah, last year was definitely more embarrassing than any loss to Wisconsin. Wisconsin's a solid football program.
Yeah, I have nothing but respect for a team like Wisconsin. Like, they're the kind of team, like, I could cheer for, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, they're just a hard-nosed football team. That's my style.
Yeah, I get you guys. I don't really know what to think. And it kind of just goes back to, you know, I'm not even sure I can make a prediction score wise, just because it goes back to what team are we going to see, you know, because if we see the team that showed up against Duke and Florida State and, you know, played very good games against Louisville and NC State, where we just looked good. I mean, I guess our defense didn't look good in some of those games, but I felt like as a team we did. You know, then we're talking. But I mean, the problem is like, if Oklahoma State is any good, then we're probably in trouble. You know, like as bad as that sounds, like we have not shown up to play against any team worth their salt, and that's kind of embarrassing in my opinion.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Any team that's worth a shit, we haven't done so well against.
Yeah. And if we really want to start like making those steps to become like a relevant team again, I mean, it's great beating Duke. It's great beating, you know, this and that, but sooner or later, like, you're going to have to start beating good teams.
Yeah.
And I mean, remember the excitement that was around the program? I mean, we only finished with a 9-4 record, but remember the excitement and how happy everyone was when we beat West Virginia a few years ago in that bowl game? I was ecstatic.
Yeah, no, that was a great way to end the season. And it did make you feel hype going into the next year, you know, even with Brad Kyle leaving. But I do want to ask you guys, you know, because I've gone back and forth with a lot of different people on Twitter. So in your
opinion, I'm so sorry, Jordan.
Twitter's been horrible. It's been bad for me, you know, because I've been a little more critical than most people. You know, I'm not one of these like rah rah Miami kind of guys when we're playing poorly. And so, dude, Twitter has been a nightmare for me recently. But anyways, like, what does it mean to you guys when we can only beat bad teams? You know, so we won 8 games. We're 8-2. So 6 of our wins are against teams that are 6-5 or worse. Okay, so we beat a 7-3 UAB team and we beat a 7-3 NC State team,
mm-hmm.
Or 7-4 or something like that. But you know, 2 7-win teams, and everyone else was pretty much 500 or worse. And then we just absolutely got blanked by, you know, the 2 really good teams that we played. So what does that mean to you guys? Where do we fit in to the grand scheme of things in college football right now?
You can go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
That's fine with me. Because, Jordan, that is a very interesting question, and that is something that I've actually said throughout the season. Listen, it really depends on your expectations as a Canes fan of what you want to see. Because if you want to sit there and say, hey, you know, we beat all the bad teams that we played against. When we play good teams, we either win or we're competitive. And usually it's not a blowout, but sometimes it's, you know, not so good. And we make a decent, solid bowl game most of the time, and we win those half the time, or, you know, more or less, right? If that's the kind of football program that you want to have, and we're going to look like a Wisconsin, we're going to look like a Michigan, we're going to look like a University of Washington, you know what I'm saying? Like those kind of teams, and they're going to beat up on the dog shit schools that, you know, are fielding it with all walk-ons. And then when they play the actual teams that matter, the Clemsons, the Ohio States, the Alabamas, you know, when they play the actual good teams, they get smoked. Everybody knows it the minute they get off the bus, right? Yeah. If that's the kind of program that you want to have where it's like respectable but not great, then that's what we're doing right now. We're respectable but not great. We're going to be in the 10 to 25 range, never consistently around in the top 10, and we'll be all right. But if you want to be like Hurricanes of old, I hate to be like, you know, the get off my lawn guy here, but you want to be like the Hurricanes of old, where we are floating around the top 5, always in a New Year's 6, potentially making the CFP, not necessarily winning the national championship every season, but like, you know, at least looking good.
Yeah,
we need improvements.
You know, it's hard to look at that right now and be, you know, happy or satisfied or anything like that. And it's not where we eventually want to be, but it's a step in where we want to be, because we're actually beating the teams that we usually lose to that are subpar and everything like that. And I know that fans hate to think, or Canes fans hate the phrase, the process, but you know, this is a process. I would have liked to beat a team like North Carolina. I would have at least, you know, been able to show up against Clemson, but you have to think that Manny is making
competitive
right moves, and it's just going to take time. I predicted 8-3 this year. I knew that we weren't going to beat Clemson. I actually predicted a win against North Carolina, but this is around what I was hoping to see. Like I did not think that we were going to come out and blow Pitt out, or, you know, things like that, because I just know this team and I know it's not going to happen right away. As long as we made these steps this year, I'm okay with it. But just like Petrie said, if you want to eventually become, you know, an elite program again, then like that, like next season, you're going to have to start, you know, you have to go to Chapel Hill and beat a North Carolina team. You're going to have to, you know, you have to show up against Clemson when you play them, and you have to further, you know, beat the, you know, the subpar teams that you beat this year. You can't just scrape by with a 19-14 win against Virginia. You know, can't struggle against Pitt for four quarters. Like, I want to see this team put away good teams, or put away, you know, medium teams, and, but also be competitive with the best teams. And I think that'll come.
Yeah.
Now, I will say context, though, is context is everything. But, and Jordan, you might have heard me make this point before. If you had told Canes fans before the season started, just in a vacuum, no context, just black and white, this is what's going to happen, yes or no, right? After last season, after we got shut out in the bowl game to whatever community college we played, I can't even think the name of it right now. But if you would have told Canes fans after that we would go 8-2, we'd have an 800 percentage, with our only losses being to Clemson and North Carolina, and that we'd have a top 10 recruiting class, they would have punched you in the mouth and called you a fucking liar.
It's true. I mean, you're not wrong. I wonder if you could go back in time and say that to someone, but also include that, like, we got embarrassed on national TV in both those losses.
Well, no, yeah, context is everything. Like I said, context is everything. But if you just said blanket, yes or no, it happened, only losses to Carolina and Clemson, people would be happy with that. You know, they would have reasonable expectations before the season, sure. But, yeah, nobody wants to get absolutely spanked by Carolina and Clemson, for sure.
You're right. You're right. And you know, I guess – maybe one of the reasons why I see things differently than a lot of fans. I mean, you know, I clearly don't see things too differently from either of you. Is that, you know, I've always been really into, like, the armchair general manager NBA type fandom. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always looking toward the future of the program, right? Like, like, this year is not any more important than 2 or 3 years from now. And so, you know, when you think about these things in context, I think a lot of it becomes a little more concerning. And that's why I'm struggling to evaluate this team and be happy about this season. You know, because, like, let's compare this year to last year, right? Like, watching how much better De'Eriq King looks than Jaren Williams last season, like, it's light years difference.
Oh, yeah.
And so you would think that that would translate to light years difference in how good our team is effectively, right? But when we're only making baby steps, you know, because it's not like we got blown out a ton last year. You know, we usually lost close games. And so you tip a few of those in the other direction, you know, with Jose Borregales kicking and, you know, a more mentally tough roster, right, that's pulling out these close games, and then you end up 8-2 like we did this year. It's a little concerning to me that we weren't a little more convincing considering how much we upgraded our roster. And so, because now that has me thinking, like, well, what does this team look like after Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche and Jose Borregales and Bubba Bolden and De'Eriq King all leave and Brevin Jordan? Well, I guess Brevin, you know, played – last year, the whole year. So do you guys see where I'm coming from, though? Is like, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's like, if we only took a baby step by putting like 5 dudes on this team that weren't here last year or didn't play significantly last year, then what happens when they leave? Like, why isn't there more? I guess the question, without answering it myself, is, are we developing the guys that are here for 4 and 5 years? That's what I want to know.
No. Marsh, you want to go ahead?
No, you can go.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, this is something that really caught my attention. It didn't, you know, right off the cuff, I was like, wow, that's awesome, great. But as I thought about it more, I was like, that's kind of not so great. So we have 3 All-Americans this year. Borregales made first team, Headley made second team, and Phillips also made second team, right? Yeah. So I sit there and I go, hey, man, it's really nice to have 3 All-Americans on this team. And you know, you really want your specialists to be dependable, guys that you're not sweating every time that they're getting ready to kick it. But at the same time, our 2 best players are our kicker and our punter.
Yeah.
And then the third one, also an All-American, Phillips, is a transfer who we got 10 games out of. You know, it's like, okay, so we have three All-Americans. Two of them are transfers. Lou Headley, I guess you would say transfer. I don't know what you want to make of that, but they're kind. He's a quasi transfer. And Borregales, we got one season out of, not even a full season if you want to consider COVID. We didn't get even full seasons out of Phillips and Borregales, and they're probably the two best players on the team. Headley, thank Christ he'll be back again next year, but are we really about to say that our best player on the team is a punter?
Well, I mean, near the top.
I should, you know, people will make the argument like Derek King, and then if, you know, some of the guys come back next year, such as Harley or whoever, the, you know, the case, maybe Brevin Jordan might come back and things of that nature. Yeah, sure. You know, even Bubba Bolden might come back. But if we're looking at the roster today, put it on paper, Madden ratings, right? Is Lou Headley the best player on our team? I mean, or one of them, like top five, top three.
He's one of the most impactful players.
He's easily top five player on this team. Yeah, I think he's top six this year, and that's including Roche and Phillips, and you know, and like Bolden, who might, we don't know if he's coming back yet. So
because it's easy to talk about impact and be like, oh yeah, I know Derek King more impactful than Lou Headley, but like if we're talking like. Not to be like a video game nerd about this, but like Madden ratings or NCAA ratings, like is De'Aaron King's Madden rating higher than Lou Headley's Madden rating as a quarterback versus a punter, respectively?
I think Headley and Borregales would have the highest ratings just because they are so much better than their peers.
Whereas at what De'Aaron they do.
Because De'Aaron King, you know, I mean, let's be honest, as good as he is, as much as he did for the team, which I think our team was totally dependent on his play in terms of our success. Like, he's not going to win the Davey O'Brien Award. He's not a Heisman finalist. You know, whereas
maybe
those dudes...
next year?
He could be. But I'm just saying, like, right now, you know, I feel like Borregales and Headley are both in the, you know, mid to high 90s if we're going, like, Madden rating type stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's also, you know, I don't think... You know, we got to step back and also think about some of the players that are developing right now. I mean, think of a guy like Gil Frierson or, you know, to Corey Couch. I mean, even a Brevin Jordan, you know, yeah, he's been injured, but I mean, he's going to be an NFL tight end one day. Will Mallory is going to be the same. Even Mike Harley has 730, you know, receiving yards this year. Also, I think he is coming back. I think it goes to show just how bad the development was up until this year at certain positions. But I get what you're saying, but I think it's hard to, what am I trying to say? It's hard to look at, we talked about it last week, Jordan, that neither of us are satisfied with this year, but in my opinion, it's a big step forward in the right direction. I mean, look at the recruiting class that we just pulled in. Look at the recruiting class that we pulled in, you know, this past year. You know, I think those are huge steps in the, you know, in the process. And a lot of people wanted more this year and they wanted to see more. But I mean, you're trying to rebuild, like you're trying to turn around a program that's been dysfunctional for 15 years, you know?
Yeah, I think, you, yeah. And also like,
no one hates, like, I'm done waiting for a good Canes team. Like, I've literally waited my entire life for a good Canes team. But, like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and this is 100% honest. Like, this is the most excited I've been as a Canes fan about the about where this program is headed. And I said that even after the UNC game. You know, we're definitely not there yet, but just think about – like the difference between this year and last year, like the difference of, you know, where we are headed and what we're trying to do. And like this, like some of the coaches that we have, like our offensive coaching staff, I'm very, very confident. I think that Manny's going to make some changes on the defensive side too. And once that happens, you know, it's these small steps. So.
Yeah. Petrie, would you say that you're like, where are you at in terms of excitement? I was actually really interested to hear Marsh say that, you know, that this is one of the most interested time or like
off seasons that he's had looking towards the future.
Yeah. So, as always, I'm trying to have reasonable expectations. I'm trying to tamper my expectations. I'm very excited. You know, as Mar said, like, if you consider where we were last year versus where we currently are this year, hey, pretty solid step. I'm not going to call it a massive step, but it's a positive step in the right direction. Now, if we do a similarly sized step into the next season, I mean, we're talking about the college football playoff, are we not? Like, I mean, we go from 6-7 getting blanked in a bowl game to a school nobody's ever heard of to we're playing in a decent, okay bowl game against a respectable opponent, right?
Yeah.
We could make another step next year and be – I'm not going to say college football playoff. I shouldn't have said that. That was a little bit too much maybe. But, like, if we are floating around like the 6-8 range, talking about a New Year's Six bowl game,
yeah,
we are excited to play in the Orange Bowl against whoever we play because we feel confident we're going to beat the dog shit out of them, then, yeah, great. I would say that's fine. But also – again, reasonable expectations. We're going to be having a lot of freshmen getting some burn next year.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying. You know, I'm having a hard time with that question, I guess. Right now, I'm not super excited. I actually think that I don't think playoffs is ridiculous next year. Now, does that mean I think we'll have a good showing in the playoffs? I wouldn't go as far to say that. However,
hell, Notre Dame's about to get blown the fuck out in the next couple of days.
Yeah.
All right. Making the CFP is one thing. Doing something when you're there is another, because Notre Dame's about to get smoked in a few days.
Yes. I mean, the door is open, right? Like, we are returning De'Arik King, who pound for pound is probably our best player. And, you know, like, we have... I mean, with Trevor Lawrence going, and, you know, like Clemson is now a question mark at the top of the ACC. They'll probably likely repeat as the best team, but you have to say that we're in that mix with North Carolina and Clemson is legitimate contenders to win the ACC. And, you know, if that's a one-loss team, then we're probably getting into the playoffs. So, you know, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that there's a chance we get into the playoff. I wouldn't go so far as to say that, like, you know, that we would be competitive against Ohio State or Alabama or whoever else is good next year. But it's there. But I guess I would feel much more, like, comfortable with the future as soon as, like, we get a read on the quarterback room after De'Arik King. Because he's so good.
It's hard to Jordan, you're torturing yourself right now.
I know. Like, I'm just trying to give you guys my thought process here, right? Because I'm kind of expecting like a 10-2 season next year. Which, you know, would be progress. But the problem is, like, then what happens after De'Arik King goes? You know, because
Well, that's the point of getting, you know, TVD will be in his third year, and then hope, you know, Jake Garcia is going to be battling him. You know, that's why we recruit these guys.
For sure. I'm just saying, like, when it comes to, am I excited about the future or not? It's like, I will sleep a lot better at night if, like, say Tyler Van Dyke gets some burn tomorrow and looks great. I will start to feel a little more comfortable. But I mean, this year's team, I mean, tell me if you guys think I'm wrong here, but this year's team kind of showed to me that De'Arik King was our tent pole. You know, I kind of felt like he propped a mediocre team up to a above average level.
What's there to correct?
Yeah. And so if we're not getting good player development and then De'Arik King leaves, like, is our program any better than the day before he got here? And that's kind of my
hesitation. Go get another QB in the portal if need be.
I mean, how many of those dudes are scoring 50 touchdowns a year, you know? Like,
I hear what you're saying.
And I don't want to poo-hoo it. I'm not I'm not trying to doomsday and say, like, you know, Manny sucks. This is, you know, I'm, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, like, I just, you know, to me, there's too many question marks. We relied too heavily on a short-term rental for me to be confident in the future, if that makes sense. Does that make sense,
yeah,
what I'm saying?
If Tyler Van Dyke's not ready after effectively what will become two redshirt seasons, if he's not ready, then,
yeah,
you know, you kind of have to ask. You say the same thing about, like, professionals. I'm not, you know, not that he's held to those same standards, but you say the same kind of thing about professional athletes. If you're not the guy after you've been in the program for 2 full years and, you know, coming up on your third year and you're not really showing us any signs, then, like, were you ever the guy to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
So if TVD, I like him. I've seen him throw the ball. Guy looks like a stud. I think he's going to be a good player.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the coaching staff after Derek King is gone next season is sitting there going, like, do we need to hit the portal or do we want to roll the dice on TVD or Garcia? Then it's kind of like, well, was TVD ever the guy to begin with, you know?
Yeah.
I also think that's what a lot of programs are thinking whenever they have, you know, a junior or senior quarterback, though, you know, anyway. You know, they're already looking toward the future thinking, oh, like, who's going to replace – you know, it's not very often that Trevor Lawrence is going to be replaced by the, you know, that Hawaiian guy. Where you have a surefire backup in, feeding in the ring. So, it's hard to just look that far. And I mean,
It is. And let me admit, full disclosure, that opinion of mine and that doubt is heavily affected by our past, right?
Yeah.
And the past isn't always the best predictor of the future. It can be, but it, like, you can't live and die by that, right? Because, you know, like, things change, right? So just because, you know, Kyle Wright and Robert Marv and Ja'Cory Harris and, you know, Stephen Morris and to some extent Brad Kaya and, you know, all these other guys, Nicosi Perry, Jaren Williams, like, highly rated guys that came in here and we didn't achieve the success that we wanted as a team on the back of highly rated recruits. Like, that doesn't write Tyler Van Dyke's story, right? But as a fan, I think it's not unreasonable to have some PTSD about it.
No. Hey, if anyone has PTSD about the Canes, it's me. Like, it's been a rough ass 15, 20 years. But
Marsh said he's been born in the darkness.
A guy like, what?
Right. Marsh was born in the darkness, molded by it.
Yeah, exactly. I've just been tortured by my sports team. So I try to present a confident, enthusiastic outlook. I'm sometimes bullshitting it, I'll be completely honest. But this, I'm really not. Like, even like, and you guys know I am not afraid to call it out, you know, when need be. I mean, like, right. When in 2018, when the Canes were, you know, preseason 8 with Mark Richt and everything, I was like, this team is not very good. Just wait. Like, this isn't going to end well. And then look what happened. So, but right now, especially with a guy like Rhett Lashley staying for at least one more year, you have, you know, these assistant coaches and Justice, especially Likens.
Likens.
And Likens is the man.
Yeah.
Likens is the man. It will help a lot, depending on what changes are made defensively. Because if you don't make changes, at least get rid of at least two coaches on the defensive side. If you can't do that, then, you know, maybe I'm still a little bit worried about where we're going and about, you know, what we can accomplish. But the fact that we got Ed Reed up there, you know, consulting Manny and everything like that, I feel like that helps a lot. And I don't think, you know, enough people are talking about his impact and, you know, just, you know, his voice of reason and everything. So do I think Manny is going to be the guy that wins a national championship for Miami? No, I've never thought that. Yeah. Is he going to be the guy to bring Miami to a place where they can start competing for them and get us back to relevancy? Yes, I do. So, but it takes time, and I know But that's the biggest thing too that Canes fans hate is that they don't want to wait. They want to be back in the heyday, and I don't need to tell them sometimes.
Yeah, I think the problem, and you know what, it could be something that we do to ourselves, right? Like how many times do we say that, you know, the Miami Hurricanes are the kings of the off season, right? Like we do so many victory laps every off season about how good things look, and then it usually just explodes in our face, like horribly. So maybe we set ourselves up for failure, you know, because there was a Zoom last night, you know, of a few Canes fans that were talking, and you know, I brought up like, well, you know, we pretty much have a top 20 recruiting class every year. Like, I don't think it's unreasonable to expect a top 20 team, you know, like Petrie, you brought up Wisconsin, you know, we're recruiting the doors off of Wisconsin. And yet, why are they putting a better team on the field every year? And, you know, one of the responses, and not that I take issue with it. I do not take issue with this response because I think it's valid and fair. And it was like, you know, you need to get the right guys. It doesn't just have to be highly rated dudes. It has to be the right guys physically and mentally for the program. Mm. I don't take issue with that answer. There's nothing wrong with it. However,
do you remember what I said, Jordan? No.
I can't remember what your reply was to that.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. But my response to that is, well, then what are we doing getting so gassed up about these high recruiting classes then before any of them step on the field? You know, like,
I can see that.
Does that make sense? Like yeah, you gotta cut things straight, you know, and saying that Manny is the guy because of a top 10 recruiting class, like, it's hard to say that at the same time of is saying, you know, well, our past recruits, that just because they were highly rated doesn't mean they were the right guy. You know, like it's hard to say both of those things and have what's it called, continuity in your logic. And so, you know, maybe we're doing this to ourselves, that we're hyping up the wrong things. You know, we're getting too excited about recruiting classes. We're getting too excited about transfer portal stuff. And we really just need to rely on the results on the football field, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what's more important, you know?
No, I think, no, that's a very good point. I mean, a lot of people get mad at me that because, you know, James Williams and Cam Kitchens, I couldn't be more excited to see them play. But I'm saying it right now, they're not going to become the players that they can be with a guy like Coach Banda coaching safeties. And I think that's the case with a few of these players. And can I bring up another point? And this kind of has nothing to do, or it kind of has something to do, but you know what really grinds my gears about Miami Hurricanes fans is that we have gotten so accustomed to thinking true freshmen are going to come in and just take over. Like, I posted something about Mike Harley today saying how I hope that he comes back. And he goes like, nah, he's got to leave. Like, Rashard and X got to eat. I'm like, okay, if they're going to do it, then why don't they all just – you know, compete for it and the best man wins? Like, why are we going to put all of this pressure and responsibility on these 18-year-olds to come in and immediately change the culture at Miami and change us into a perennial powerhouse? I mean, I understand that James Williams is good. He will play as a true freshman. Leonard Taylor will play as a true freshman. But people coming in and saying this guy will start day one and this guy, I'm like, what the hell? Like, why do you continue to do this to yourself? It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I mean, to me, the point that resonates the most with me from what you just said is the culture thing. You know, we talked about this last episode, and that I don't like the idea of bringing in freshmen to change your culture, right? Because those kids have never played college ball, man. I mean, do you guys remember your first year at college or your first month at college, what it was like?
It's very blurry.
You did. Yeah. I mean, you just kind of walk around like a deer in the headlights, like, okay, what do I do now? I've never done this before, you know, like, so why are we, you know, why are we expecting true freshmen to come in and like throw down the gauntlet on a senior and be like, we're doing, like, I'm the captain now, you know, like some Captain Phillips type stuff.
Like, it's just not going
to
happen.
We were all so excited, like, this past year for guys like TVD and X to come in. And rightfully so, I think those guys are the kind of players that you need more of in your locker room. But they're not going to come in on Green Tree and then, like, these juniors and seniors are going to look up at them like they just walked on water and say, oh, I'm going to follow you, whatever you do. Like, this takes time. Like, do you think they're just going to – like, do you think Restrepo was going to come in, like, out year one, catch 70 passes for 1,200 yards? Like, did you idiots really think that was going to happen? I'm sorry, but I just have to call some people out. Like, stop doing this to yourselves.
Yeah.
It's so much better to be a fan and so much – like, it's so much – oh, I can't even talk right now. It's – less stressful when you are a more realistic fan, I'm telling you.
Well, I mean, and it's those same kind of fans that you're like, okay, you know, they're like, oh yeah, you thought X was going to come out and catch, you know, like you just said, 75 or 80 passes, 1,200 yards and things of that nature. Listen, we can have these guys who bleed orange and green and want to be Miami Hurricanes from the moment they come out of the womb, and that's all fine and well. But if you don't have the talent at the end of the day, like, listen, we got lucky. Leonard Taylor, he wants to be a Cane. James Williams wants to be a Cane. Cameron Kitchens wants to be a Cane. Romello Brinson wants to be a Cane. But guess what? I want to be a Miami Hurricane, but I ain't out there catching fucking passes, man. Like, I'm not good. I'm not good at football. Hello.
I remember what you said to – I remember what your response was in the Zoom call now.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know this is Marsh's best friend. He's a very close connection to this person, so I don't want to be very rude about this. But it's like, hey, listen, you know, we want guys that are true blue Canes until the day they die. But you're not going to win a national championship with 80 Braxton Berrioses on your football team. I'm sorry. You're just not. You're just not. Whoa.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what? Give me 80 Brad Kaias and we're talking.
All right.
I'm just kidding.
Now you're cooking with grease. All right. Give me 80 quarterbacks out there.
Peach. Oh my God.
He's like, this guy. I thought he was a friend of the show.
Yeah. Talking about a saint of man, Braxton.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. And
by the way, shout out to Braxton. Caught a tutty this weekend.
He did. And Jaquan Johnson just threw a pass for the Bills.
Yeah.
Did he really?
He did.
Was it a fake punt?
I don't know. I'm not watching.
Herndon scored a touchdown for the Jets too this weekend.
Just so you guys know, I am missing a Jazz game and a Bills game right now to record this. So I hope all of you enjoy it, listeners.
That's a crying damn shame.
Bastards.
I know, man.
Dude,
Donovan Mitchell's hot garbage. Can I just say that? Like, I mean, I love Mitchell. You know, like what he did in the playoffs was no joke. Like he can do that, but he's so inconsistent. People just wildly overrate him.
He's Diet Dwayne Wade, man.
He really is.
That's a perfect explanation for him.
Okay. Hey, I mean, right now he's Diet Dwayne Wade. That's been, you know, left with the lid pop for 5 days in the refrigerator, and he's totally flat. So.
Okay. I was going to bring this up. Did you guys? I know Jordan saw it. Did you guys see who's coming back for a 7th year of college football?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, is it Patchen?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I really want him to transfer back here.
Dude, somebody said something. It was like, this guy's about to start collecting a pension, and I lost my mind.
Dude,
this guy's 401k, man. He's building up equity, dude.
He's going for his doctorate, man.
Yeah,
Jesus. Oh, man.
He's like 34.
Yeah, I might be the only person that finds it funny. I know Marsh does too, but I think we're the only people that find it funny whenever I suggest that we need Patchen back because our team needs more Al Golden. You know, like that's what the program is missing. The secret sauce is an Al Golden recruit.
We need the tie.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Jordan and I say that, and I say that stuff just to piss people off because their reaction's like, well, are you serious? Like, how could you say that?
I just laughed that there is still a guy playing football that was recruited by Al Golden. That is that's mind blowing.
2014.
That feels like a decade ago, dude.
Yeah, bro, I was 90.
Better part.
He's
like,
a year younger than I am.
It's closer to 10 years than it is to. It's closer to 10 years than it is to zero. Just
I feel like I didn't have a single chest hair when Al Golden was fired. And now I look like a bear.
Very mammal bear.
Yeah,
hey, exactly. Hey, so two things before we go. We still got to get our score predictions. I also wanted to ask you guys, name your top three favorite moments from this season, Kane's moments from this year.
Ooh. Moments? That's okay. Jordan, you do you
moments, go, plays, just anything like that.
Okay, so does it have to be in order or just three of them?
Just three.
Okay, so since we're not doing order, I'll lead off with this one. It's the first one that came to mind. Was the UAB game when De'Aaron King, I believe it was like a third and long, when, you know, it was the first taste that we got of De'Aaron King avoiding two defensive players in the backfield and then scrambling for like 20 to 30 yards. And we watched that together, Marsh, but I was like that was kind of the first taste of what we were in for. And that was a big moment for me for this season.
Okay. Petrie, what's your first one?
I feel like I got to cherry pick an easy one. Blowing the doors off of Florida State. Fuck Florida State.
Okay. All right.
The fact that we beat them by 6 or 7 touchdowns. It was 52-10, so 7 touchdowns. No, wait, 6 touchdowns. I have to correct myself. 6 touchdowns. That was amazing.
Yeah. Well, so my first one is like in that game, there was a moment where Jalen Phillips picked off a pass and De'Aaron King then, I think it was the next drive or a drive near there, is when he hit a wide open D. Wiggins for a touchdown. And I really just sat back and said, this is just too easy. Like, this is, we're really just beating the hell out of Florida State. It was a great feeling. Yeah. Great feeling.
Yeah, that was.
All right, Jordan.
Let's hear it. I don't know, man. I guess it was cool to see Mike Harley bounce back after the Clemson game. The wide receiver room was much maligned, especially after he kind of stuck his foot in his mouth in the press conference. So for me, it was like a feel-good thing to watch him really have a few dominant performances rattled off consecutively in the following 3 weeks. So that was cool. You know, it made me have some respect, more respect for Mike Harley as a player and as a young man. So I enjoyed watching that run that he had midseason.
Okay. All right. Petrie?
De'Aaron King going absolutely dummy stupid against NC State. Man, he lit them boys up. I know NC State is not all that great in the grand scheme of things, but
they're ranked.
Number one, they are ranked. And number two, that kind of performance, you don't do that by accident. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen just because you're a good football player playing against a bad team. That happens because you are a great football player. He's a football guy, and he lit NC State up like the 4th of goddamn July.
I was going to say, either for my second or third one, that final, like, the go-ahead touchdown to Mike Harley. Like, we were having a watch party, and I was like
– oh, yeah.
I was, like, jumping. I don't know what I was saying, but I was so happy. But I won't steal that one. My second one was the first touchdown of the year. I was sitting there with Jordan. It was a 4th-and-1.
Yep.
And, like, I was, like, yelling at the TV, like, why are you going for it? Like, what are we doing? And then Cam Harris, like, bust open a 70-yard touchdown run. I'm like, all right, we can breathe now. Because Jordan and I were freaking out. Like, why are we down 7-0? What the hell is going on? It's all happening again.
Yeah.
And then that happened. It was a sigh of relief, man.
Oh, dude, if we would have lost to a third straight group of five team, that would have been a bad way to start the year.
Yeah. Okay, last one, Jordan. What do you got?
Oh, man. Dude, as soon as that red blinking light comes on, I always draw a blank. Shoot, dude. I don't know. I brought up the Mike Harley redemption story. So I'm going to go with in that same vein, I'm going to go with the DJ Ivy redemption story.
Ooh.
That made me feel good, right? Because, you know, obviously I can go in somewhat hard on these kids when they're playing very poorly, right? But nothing makes me happier than to see them turn it around. You know, it's not like I'm rooting against these people. You know, I don't care if my takes are right or wrong. You know, I just want the Canes to be good, you know? So if I'm wrong and that means that the Canes are good or that individual Canes are playing well, then I'm pumped about that. That's totally fine. So I'm going to go with the DJ Ivy redemption story. He's really turned it around and looks great. And I'm just pumped for him, man.
Okay. All right. Petrie, what's your last one?
Nah, that was a good one, Jordan, dude. Sometimes it's nice to be like, oh, oof, I was wrong about that one. Damn.
Yeah.
Whew. Okay. Let's see, dude. My favorite, or my third favorite, I should say, if we're doing it that way now. Man, that's tough. Oh, I know. I got it. Correct me if I'm wrong on the opponent, but I believe it was Louisville. Jalen Knighton's like 80-yard touchdown. Oh, dude, were you about to do that one more?
Say that,
dude. Okay, I'm talking about the fact that he was able to get it, and he was able to be completely uncovered, no one near him for a country mile, and for him to cross into the end zone and did like the track star finish, like, you know, kneeling your head a little bit to like get the record by a fraction of a second. I thought that was really cool. I saw him and I was like, is that Willis McGahee? Wait a minute, that's Jalen Knighton.
I love it.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, I was definitely going to say that. He was wide open. He was holding up the one as he was running in the end zone.
Yeah, the one, exactly. Yes, yeah. That one, too. Holding up the one.
Okay, well, other than that.
Beating Virginia Tech by 1 point.
with you. That was a fun game.
Good time that one.
That was a good time. Yeah. I would say just to see the bounce back of Jalen Phillips. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy that almost quit football. Like, I didn't think he was going to do much this year. He stepped in for Greg Rousseau, and now he's like, he'll most likely be a first round draft pick. Like, yeah. if you told me that 5 months ago, I would have laughed you out of the room. And just to see him do that and do so well, kind of like the Ivy thing that you were talking about, Nelson. Like, you want these guys to do well, and when they do well, everyone does well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, you just feel good.
Yeah.
So very happy for him. Also, one more note: we had three All-Americans today, so that was cool. Jordan, what's your prediction
for the score for the game?
The score for the game.
Oh gosh. I don't know, man. This is a game that I have very little confidence in, and it's not even that I think we're gonna lose. I just feel like apathy for this game. I think I need to see a therapist about the UNC game. I'll go 24-21 Canes, and that's me being a fan. I'm wearing my fan hat, and I'm saying 24-21 Canes.
Okay. All right. Petrie says 38-31. Are you sticking by that?
Yeah. And also, as far as like when you said the three All-Americans thing, you know, the reporter, Tim Reynolds, he's always doing like weird, crazy stats that nobody would have ever thought of in a million years. But he said, you know, Borgalis is first team All-American. His name will be forever in the IPF for Miami. And so Andres next season coming in, seeing his brother's name among the rafters like that, he has something to shoot for, something to aim for. So I really like that. And to answer your question, yes, I am sticking with what I said originally. 38 Canes, 31 Oklahoma State. It's all about you, baby.
So, and you know that Borgalis is the first team All-American for the Canes since 2004.
Is that Kellen Winslow? Is that who it is?
Antrell Roll.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that was when I saw that, I was like, what the hell? But then I was like, yeah, it makes sense. My score prediction. God.
You telling me that Standish Dobard was never a first team All-American?
You're gonna sit here and tell you're.
I'm just kidding, Stando. I hope you're not listening to that.
All-American.
Right.
My prediction: people are gonna hate me. I'm going 38-24 Oklahoma State.
Fuck.
I know.
Oh my God.
I want to be the fan, and I want to be hopeful, but I'm sorry. I'm just not confident going into this game. I wish the players had the heart that I do. Then we would win. You know, we wouldn't lose a game for 10 years. But I hope they prove me wrong. That's all I'm gonna say. The one time I predicted a loss this year, or I predicted two losses, but I predicted a loss against Virginia Tech, and we won. So maybe. You know, maybe I'm trying to convince myself, but yeah, you know what? 38-31 Oklahoma State. So I'm doing your prediction, but reverse.
Marsh, you're making me feel bad, man. Cause like, I don't know. I couldn't find it in me to predict a win against North Carolina. Cause I just, you know, I had a feeling. I had a little whisper from the universe that was telling me that just wasn't going to happen. And, you know, I'm trying to avoid that, but I'm kind of, like I said, I just, when I try to envision the Canes winning this game, I just feel complete apathy. I don't know. I'll probably stick with it. Can I predict a tie? We're gonna be the first tie in Cheez-It Bowl history.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The first tie in Cheez-It Bowl history in the second game of Cheez-It Bowl history.
Right.
Like
they're going to give Manny a plaque to put on his desk that says, "You played in the most boring Cheez-It Bowl of all time."
Hey, it's an upgrade from the Independence Bowl against Louisiana Tech. Oh my gosh. I think. Maybe. Probably not. Okay. Well, anything else from you guys? Anything else you want to say? Petrie, we loved having you back on, brother.
Dude, I'm happy to be on, man. You guys know anytime I am happy to be a part of the show. I love doing it. It's fantastic. You guys do a great job, and I'm happy to be here.
All right, brother. Well, hey, let's link up again soon.
Yes, sir. Hey, you know, we linked up for the VTech game. You said you weren't feeling confident. Maybe we need to figure out a way to watch this Cheez-It Bowl tomorrow, you know?
I'm actually I'm going on a date tomorrow. I'm hanging out with the girl.
Oh, you're watching the Cotton Bowl, are you?
No.
Different. Not that one? Oh, different one. Okay. Hey, Marsh is a man about town now that he's down in South Florida.
If South Florida. Okay, well, on that note, we will talk to you guys after the bowl game. Hopefully we're happy. Go Canes.
Hey, go Canes.